and spirituality, and who doesn't want to get their hands in that? So I'm very grateful and having a good time.
Well, we're very grateful for your work. We want to thank you so much for spending this time. Ava DuVernay, director of 13th. It is up for an Oscar with her previous film, Selma. Ava DuVernay became the first African-American female director to have a film nominated for Best Picture at the Academy Awards. Now, 13th is nominated for an Oscar for Best Documentary. It's shortlisted for an Oscar for Best Documentary. That does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wilsler, Agata Dean, Dina Gester, Sam Malkoff, Ravi, Karen, Hani Masood, Sheree Nadura, Andre Lewis. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us.
Give to KBOO today during our end-of-year match. Wrapping up December 31st, donations from all new and increasing members will be matched one-to-one up to $15,000 from the Collins Foundation and SSI Shredding Systems. Give an extra gift today or become a new member, and your membership will be doubled to support independent community media and citizen journalism at KBOO. Thank you.
Don't let Rupert Murdoch control your newscasts. The KBOO Evening News provides breaking news about local issues, from water fluoridation to immigration raids. We bring you daily coverage of what's going on in Portland, Cascadia, and around the world. Tune in every weekday at 5 for the KBOO Evening News on KBOO, your community radio station.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Grendel's, a neighborhood coffee house offering locally roasted coffee, sandwiches for breakfast and lunch, and Wi-Fi. Proud to support KBOO, Grendel's is open every day at East Burnside and 8th. Information at 503-595-9550 or facebook.com/Grendel's Coffee House.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
There comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world you cast your vote.
Good morning. It is just a couple minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning. And you're listening to KBOO. This is Positively Revolting.
Yes, it is.
I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And we are here for you at the end of this year, saying goodbye to 2016 here the Positively Revolting way. 2016. Wow, that happened.
Yeah, the Romans had a space of time in there that many O person is ready for this to be over, like it's going to radically change all of a sudden on January 1st.
Well,
would that was true.
From your astrological perspective, I understand that that possibly isn't true.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's one thing. And it's true that it's the Gregorian calendar we're talking about, which is, you know, sort of this arbitrary thing that happened to us. Thanks, Gregor. But that said, this is that moment. Well, not this moment, but a moment coming right up, arbitrarily picked or not. It's when we get a new calendar. And I think that we attach a lot of significance to that moment that we get a new calendar, right? It happens fairly much around the world, even if we live in cultures that honor different calendars, that may ultimately say that we're in different years. There is a global agreement that the Gregorian calendar will out, right? That is a global date. whatever other
all
systems.
All part of colonialism, yes.
Sure, I get it. It's colonialist. It's not great. But it's what is. In 2016, out over and done with. 2017, coming on in. And I'm going to go ahead and argue that, arbitrary or not, when we get a new calendar, there is a huge amount of energy that is outpoured to making things new, making a difference, starting over, right? Kind of like when you're a little kid and something messes up and you just start yelling, I want a do-over. And sometimes you get a do-over and sometimes you don't.
We need an enormous do-over.
We need an enormous do-over.
I don't know.
So it's a bigger do-over than I think we've ever asked for. And I don't think Santa Claus is actually going to come through with it, or any other fictitious being. We actually have to make it right ourselves. But I do encourage people that, you know, it's a secular holiday. It is, you know, really not associated with big spiritual to-dos. It is a time we get a new calendar. It's a time that we watch balls drop far away on television screens or computer screens now, I suppose.
Kiss strangers.
It's a time we perhaps kiss strangers. It's a time that we toast with sparkling cider and or champagne. It's a time that we have some hope that things will be different. And so I encourage everyone to take advantage of that energy and to build on it and to see what it is we want to block out from 2016. It's a year I personally want to kick to the curb myself. And what do we want to actually invite into our lives in 2017? We can call that New Year's resolutions, though I might suggest not calling it that because I think everyone has a habit of blowing those off. And we actually do need to follow through and to make some changes in this coming year. And so that's what we'll be talking about today. We invite your calls to join us at 503-231-8187. Yeah, Lynn.
Michael Mead put a little thing up on his Facebook page that I would like to just share with folks. It's very short. You won't have to hear me read for too long. Traditionally, he says, New Year rituals sought to create moments of wholeness in which each individual could feel connected to the souls of others and to the ongoing song of creation. If we get too far out of tune with the subtle vibrations of our soul, we can fall out of step and lose our way. As the poet Rumi reminds us, we don't have to save the world. What we must do is tune into our souls, become our own unique note, and join the great song of creation ongoing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Don't lose the way.
Don't lose the way. And I always think that what people mean, what he means by we don't have to save the world is people get overwhelmed because there's a lot of action that's going to need to be taken this year, this coming year. Well, yeah. as of right now, you know, things are starting now. And don't get, when you start feeling like it's all on your shoulders, that is the surest way to defeat yourself.
Mm-hmm. I would argue that it is our jobs to change the world, but in fact, the only way to do that is by going inwards.
Right, but saying that it's all on your shoulders.
Oh, totally.
It's a group effort.
It is. It takes us all. And so to that end, a couple of the things that have struck me, and I think possibly the most significant thing really is the rise, I think it's safe to say, the rise in fascism that has happened pretty much globally. In 2016, that this was noted by the UN High Commissioner on Human Rights, Prince Zayed bin Arad, who noted that 2016 has been disastrous for human rights across the globe. And he came out with that in very early December, noting the plight of refugees, the rise of hard right leadership in political Yeah, in elected positions across Europe, looking specifically at Britain and Trump as well. He says human rights are at risk of unraveling under unprecedented pressure, and the rhetoric of fascism is being normalized in the United States, or I'm sorry, across the globe, actually. And so that to me was a pretty significant pronouncement.
Well, fascism has been coming because fascism is really an economic system. It's a corporately ruled economic system. It's the totalitarianism that is more a system of oppression. Not that fascism isn't, but sometimes people fail to differentiate between those two.
Well, fascism, Mussolini said it, it's the coming together of governments and corporations.
Ba-dum-bum-bum.
It's true. But it doesn't bode well for human rights, right?
No.
And generally, in order for that to prevail, totalitarianism, you know, it goes hand in hand.
I just wanted to make that clear.
Sure. And I think it's important to look at, again, it's the rise in hate that comes with it. It's the scapegoating that comes with it. It's all of these things that makes this a particularly dangerous time. And when you look at that pronouncement in early December to an article out today, yesterday, I suppose, about Theresa May, who is now seeking to pull the UK from the European Convention on Human Rights.
She is now the Prime Minister of...
Indeed. She's the unelected Prime Minister.
Yes, by the way.
And she is running in 2020 on a bid to cut ties with outside judicial systems and to replace the Human Rights Act with regressive rules for Britain. So, again, just in keeping...
You didn't see my eyes get big as saucers.
Yes, yes, I did see that. In keeping with the High Commissioner on Human Rights' pronouncement that there is bad things afoot, right? That the global systems are going hard right, that they are bringing in a time where we seem to have abandoned our care and concern for human rights, and that we have politicians openly running in opposition to the human rights records that we've been building over the last 50 years. I mean, something is truly, truly wrong, very alarming and appalling. And so I ask, dear listeners, what are we doing about that? We can sit around and hand-wring and go, oh my God, things are super bad, because they are. And I think some hand-wringing is in order. But then, of course, we need to take action, right? And so in 2017, what are you doing to fight fascism? What are you doing to make this world a better place? We invite your calls. You can let us know what you're doing in the proactive new year. You can let us know what it is you would personally like to kick to the curb in 2016. Let us hear from you. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. You can also, of course, follow along on Facebook, where you can find us Positively Revolting and like our fan page. You can also follow us in the Twitterverse, where you can find us at Positive Revolt.
And, you know, I think that reading this article by this fellow who I can't find his name, but his reasoning sounds blog active is the name of the and he was talking, what's the breeding ground for fascism? And he's comparing some of the things from Germany in the 30s to now, like austerity. We have gone through some very tough economic times, as did Germany. And there seems to be a need. It's easier to just blame someone else. It is the easy way out. Now, of course, though they didn't have that in the 30s, we also have a right-wing media that screams the reasons for people to blame. I saw an old Daily Show the other day when this guy was Trump supporter was blaming Barack Obama for 9/11.
Yeah, because, well, historicism.
He wasn't even in the office that day.
I was going to say historicism and truth. Oh. You know, kind of take a back seat to...
No, he wasn't even in the office that day.
One could say. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of uncanny that.
Uh-huh. But there are those types of things. When you get austerity, when you get people suffering. So what's the antidote, dear listeners? What's the antidote to blame? To blaming the other, the right. other who might be different, though I kind of don't see how. But that's just me. And there are perceived differences, not actual differences in humans. And should we all put on uniforms and look the same?
Such a rhetorical question.
I know.
Well, I want to point out that Bob Burnett has written an article published to Common Dreams yesterday. That's the Pledge of Five Resistance Resolutions. He says, as we enter a perilous new year, here are five resistance resolutions. And I think it's good to go over. I think these are actually fairly much interwoven with the article I've been talking about for the last month, which would be Timothy Snyder's How You Can Stop Tyranny from Coming to the U.S.
And Your Door.
Yes. He says, as we enter a perilous new year, here are five resistance resolutions. One, practice resistance each day. Political resistance is an American tradition. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty, right? We've heard that. We've seen it engraved in marble. Take a stand for democracy. Slow down and focus. Resist, he says. He goes on to say, if you've experienced a life-threatening disease, the process sounds familiar. Live one day at a time. Focus on the essentials, taking care of yourself and regaining your health. Trump is a democracy-threatening disease. Focus on taking care of yourself and regaining democracy. Perhaps begin each day with an aphorism, he says. He suggests trying, I am a patriot. Actions speak louder than words. It's easier to resist at the beginning than at the end. Yeah, true enough that. Also, number two of his top five resistance resolutions, acknowledge that you are grieving. Trump's victory was a traumatic event, a death of sorts. Place yourself along the continuum of the five stages of grief. Are you in denial? Are you in the anger stage? Are you bargaining? Feeling depressed? Or are you now at acceptance? If you are stuck in depression, acknowledge where you are at and seek assistance. In terms of this traumatic event, acceptance means recognizing what is true. What is true is that a narcissistic, paranoid, white supremacist bloviator is going to become the president of the United States. Recognizing that it is true does not imply passivity or acquiescence. Remember Niebuhr's serenity prayer, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. In this situation, acceptance means recognizing what is true and then moving forward with resistance. Trump may become the president, but we do not have to accept his authority. He lists number three as spending time in nature. Instead of watching the news or checking Facebook, take a walk, get outside. Number four, join with others. Develop a broad, mindful resistance movement as an exercise in community building. First, treat your own family with kindness. Don't let yourself withdraw or lash out in redirected anger. Embrace yourself and your loved ones. Offer comfort. And then expand that circle. And finally, number five, cherish your own perspective. Search for your own truth and guard it ferociously. Recognize that you can change and find the courage to take action. He says, help your friends negotiate the transition from depression to action. And that's pretty much it. He ends the article with saying, "Now you and I are faced with the possible death of democracy. There is no time for anything inessential. We must focus. We must resist."
Some of us feel that ship sailed a long time ago, but that's another story. We have a caller.
All right.
Barbara.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Well, thank you for this conversation this morning, because I think it's really important, because it seems like there's so much fear and depression all around us right now in several groups that I participate in. People don't want to talk about Trump and the transition, but then that's what we've been talking about. So
it's really a hard one, because I don't want to give him another single piece of my energy, but it needs to be talked about.
That's true. And I was calling when you talked about who you were quoting with the five steps. And can I get the name of that person?
Yes, yes, you can. That is an article by Bob Burnett. He is from the Berkeley area, where he's an activist and writer. Apparently the co-founder of Cisco Systems in Silicon Valley. A Berkeley Quaker activist and writer is what he says in his bio, and this is an article that is posted to Common Dreams.
And if he was a founder, they got bought out.
I'm just saying what is
people.
Here in his bio. No judgment, really. But there it is, five resistance resolutions posted to commondreams.org. You can find that there.
Okay, well, I did call to make some suggestions, but then I start writing down what you're talking, because I think what he's saying is so true, because I decided, you know, if I put my energy into the fear, into the depression, then I'm not going to accomplish what I want to accomplish. And
right.
So I do volunteer a lot. I've been trying to go back to work because I'm broke now, but I've been volunteering for Healthcare for All Oregon. We're working on single-payer healthcare. So if people want to do something, I think doing something like that, or I'm also working on a constitutional amendment to say that corporations are not people, money's not free speech, and that's what the local move to amend.
Mm-hmm. Move to amend, yep, fine.
In Portland. And then there's, of course, the climate change issue. So there's, of course, Portland is an exceptional city as far as what you can do. There's endless amounts of things you can do. But I also volunteer, and I highly recommend volunteering in programs like, I work with children in the SMART program, and it's a reading program that helps children learn. We help get over that rough spot of learning how to read. And
it's stunning. It's a stunning program because I did that too. It's like 2 half-hours a week.
Yeah.
Completely changes a kid's life.
Yeah, I love it. It's my favorite. You know, even though I do all this other great volunteering, that is my absolute favorite because I just love it. Watching them change and gain confidence in reading is absolutely wonderful.
Cool.
So,
I'll
let someone else talk, but I just wanted
Barbara, thank you so much for your call this morning.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And we'll go ahead and post that article to our Facebook page. You can find it there on facebook.com/positivelyrevolting. And let's go ahead and take another call, shall we?
Red Willow.
Hey, good morning,
good
ladies.
Morning.
So I have two things. First of all, I think the article about the action items and acknowledging the grief is excellent. But what I would suggest also is to identify the fear. What I think isn't being brought out clearly enough for everyone, and certainly I'm not seeing this as far as what other women are talking about, is that what we're actually afraid of is physical harm and trauma and witnessing trauma to others. Because this is what this man has espoused. In his rallies, he has been a cheerleader for violence on other people that think differently. He has acknowledged that he has physically overcome women and is proud of it. This is what we're afraid of. We're afraid of being physically accosted or having to witness it being done.
Yeah.
So I think with that one-pointedness, we can come up with better planning than how to go around with our grief. The time for grief might have to come later. the time for grief might have to come after we have taken action, because there's been a long time of blindness to what has been happening. So that is just the point I wanted to make on that. And now my question is, has there been Lynn, did you do the chart for the world for the coming year, or how did you do that?
I have not done the chart for the world for the coming year. I've been looking at some things, though. I was looking at, there's a lot of, oh gosh, it was up on my phone. So, let's see, la-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, where is our...
well, you know,
but there's a lot of fire and water happening, and yes. Of course,
well,
we still,
like me.
And me, mm-hmm. and we still have, of course, Mr. Pluto in Capricorn, which is so interesting, I find, with somebody. This sort of iron hand. I mean, that's one way it can be expressed, is by mm-hmm. having, because Pluto is about big, you know, there's debate about whether it's a planet or not, but that doesn't stop its energy from being what it is. And it can be an iron hand, because that's, you know, Capricorn is ruled by Saturn, so that gives it's an iron hand and strong men. It's the time of, quote, strong men. I don't think they're strong.
Well, that's all right.
And that's not going to stop. It's like, you know, 2017 is not going to completely clear the decks of what we've all been experiencing. It's like batten down the hatches.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And that would be one idea that I have as far as a proactive approach. And it's going to take people that the fascist regimes are not ready to jump all over yet. It might be...
Who are they?
Like the old white men. We might have to find old white men to team with in order to protect until we can... Do you see my point? Because they are going after anyone that is disenfranchised or oppressed. The
sure.
only people that aren't are old white men, right?
Well, and I'm going to say, you know, to an extent, but there's also the communities of thought, right? There's political dissidents. And so I think it's important to always look at layers of privilege and... you know, definitely folks that are male and folks that are white have more privilege. And as fascism comes, we know that being a political dissident, whether you have that privilege or not, is also going to get you targeted. I'm just putting that out there.
Right, right. And people of color, they're wearing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, it's right out there. So my suggestion would be that those people that walk with privilege mm-hmm. also take on responsibility mm-hmm. with maybe they need to team with even one or two individuals, create little enclaves mm-hmm. that have at their nucleus someone that it wouldn't be easy to attack.
Right. Hey, Red Willow, yeah. Thanks very much for your call this morning.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. The other thing that I was looking at that I was just saw astrologically is so Mr. Mars, the god of war,
yes.
among other things, is in Pisces, ruled by Neptune, the two levels, and it's conjunct with Neptune right now. Neptune has two levels. There's the lower level that's addiction, lying, delusion. And as we've been talking about spirituality, there is the higher vibration of it, which is spirituality connecting to a source. Interesting. So once again, what we had been talking about the last couple of weeks about with activism grounded in a sense of spirituality, like they're doing in Standing Rock, like First Nation people are doing or Native people doing everywhere in this country and in Canada, every action that they are doing is grounded in a sense of spirituality. And that seems to be very successful because that is a way to keep connected to your soul, as Rumi was just, and Michael Mead was saying in that other first quote. But that sort of bears itself out astrologically at the moment to me.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Radio 503-231-8187, the number to call this morning. If you would like to join us with what you are thinking you will be doing in 2017, looking at the events of 2016, for myself, thinking that the most significant events really is a global thing, and is best summarized by the UN Commissioner on Human Rights when he noted the global rise in fascism. And then having Theresa May's announcements this week really back that up. Thank you, unelected Prime Minister Theresa May. What are you thinking, dear listeners? Let us know. 503-231-8187. Again, I want to invite you to follow along on Twitter throughout the week at Positive Revolt. You can also like our page on Facebook, where we are posting many of these articles, so you can have the benefit of reading them your very own selves. Yeah, like that. Yes, I say.
Yes. And what did I saw a tweet the other day I thought was very interesting, and it was that David Bowie decided we all needed to go to another level of consciousness somewhere, and he's picking people off one by one to join. That's just a thought.
That the Bowie theorem of 2016.
I like it.
But of course.
It's just, but I feel left behind, but that's okay.
For now.
It's a different sort of, yeah.
Yeah. excuse me. I also want to point out an article that was printed in Salon, posted in Salon. I got to update my nomenclature. All hands on deck, Michael Moore has advice for Donald Trump resistance. And again, for me, 2017 is really focusing on resistance. I think perhaps listeners may have caught the theme of 2017 for me. It is, and I think it is important to take care of yourself. I think it is important.
That's a piece of resistance.
It's a part of resistance, yeah. Right? It's important to take care of yourself. It's important to take care of your family, your friends, your community. Resistance starts at that level, and it starts with mutual aid, right? Because we all have to get through this together. We have to actively learn and practice solidarity in a way that we just have not before. It's been decades since we faced any kind of crisis like this. And we have gotten rather acclimated to making our circles pretty small, right? Well, I am, insert my labels here, and your insert labels a couple millimeters to some other side of that circle. And therefore, we cannot be allies and, you know, splitter. And that just has to end, right?
I actually heard it was on the radio, not on KABU.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, we lived through Bush. We can live through. And I remember when Bush was first elected, my mother said, well, we lived through that first Bush. And I'm like, we just barely, with our little nails clinging to the side of the cliffs of insanity, made it through the Bush. And this is, and everyone is continually worse than the next. So don't be thinking that.
Yeah. And besides, there is actually a difference between the old right that we didn't like at all.
And
really
they
didn't like them at all.
And they were
and
the
what
new,
we have now.
Yeah. It's,
there's kind of a world of difference. Yeah. That's true.
Should we talk to LJ?
Let's do that. Good morning, LJ.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing okay. How are you doing?
I am so good, Ani. I am so optimistic about the future.
Tell me about that, LJ. How do you stay optimistic about the future right now?
Okay, Ani, because with this new, finally in your face fascist will make us disenfranchised people stand in solidarity with each other.
I hear that.
Yeah. All right, alliances are already being formed. All right, Lynn, just a quick correction about the Bush administration. George W. Bush was not elected; he was chosen by the.
Oh, absolutely, yes. As was yes, most as was. Trump wasn't chosen by the Supreme Court, but it was also a crooked election. Yes.
Yeah, of course. It's like all.
He was selected. Yes.
He was selected. Let us not forget that he does that Trump does not have a mandate from the people. He lost by 2.5 million votes. So how is that a mandate of the people?
Yeah.
Explain that to me.
Well, I think that
only in a twisted narcissistic mind.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I think you make a good point there.
And we certainly do have a twisted narcissist, a twisted mind now sitting at the seat of power.
And
so,
anyway. Not just him, his lovely cabinet.
Oh, gee. Isn't that a piece of work?
What fresh hell will that bring every day?
Yeah, really, no kidding. All right, so just a couple of quick things.
Sure.
All right. The Pledge of Allegiance says, among other things, that we're one nation under God, indivisible. So if we're indivisible, well, why does the government spend so much time and effort to divide us from each other? Then it goes on to say that there's liberty and justice for all. So do you believe that there's liberty and justice for all? And just one more quick thing, and I'll get off the air. To quote Maya Angelou, I personally do not want to be involved in any revolution where love is not allowed. I don't think the ruling class knows how to feel any love. Their love is the bottom line. So have a great new year. Let's fight the good fight. Ani and Lynn, keep on keeping on.
Right on.
Thanks, LJ.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
So I'm going to, there's another five things each of us must do this week, according to Michael Moore.
All right.
Goodness and the frog
Lay
in
it
my
on
throat.
Us.
Yes, Michael Moore writes, five things each of us must do this week. He says he does not say these things because he's filled with optimism. In fact, he thinks the first thing we all have to do in order to move on is to admit out loud that what we already think privately, as bad as we know it's going to be, it's actually going to be worse, a lot worse. Now cheer up and read on, he says. Gotta love Michael Moore, man. Five things each of us must do this week. One, make your presence known. Your senators, members of Congress are home right now in your town or nearby for their holiday break. Their office is open. You don't need an appointment. Just show up. Go and take a friend with you. Walk in and say, I'm your constituent, and I'd like to actually have my opinions known. It goes on a little bit about how to talk to senators. Number two, write to the DNC tonight. It'll take 5 minutes. Send a quick email to the National Democratic Committee and tell them that you want to elect Congressman Keith Ellison as the new chairperson of the Democratic Party. That's more suggestion there. Number three, form your own rapid response team. This is where I personally think things get interesting, since folks who have been a longtime listener of my show may know that I don't have any faith, actually, in major political parties. Form your own rapid response team. By New Year's Day this Sunday, I want you to ask 5 to 10 friends, family members and coworkers and classmates or neighbors to be a part of your rapid response team. Pick a name for it. like the Doyle Family Rapid Response Team or the Oak Street Rapid Response Team. You get the idea. Set a plan to contact each other online as soon as word goes out on any given day to oppose what Trump and Congress are up to. This idea, I'm going to go ahead and add, can be embiggenated. You know, so this says...
embiggenated, you say.
Yes. This is to oppose Trump's ideas. I think it's important to form rapid response teams because when things are worse, a lot worse than we think they might get, it's important to know who your friends and family are, where they are, and to protect each other.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of gets to what Red Willow was saying. It's a little bit beyond that, too, though. It's really, it's important to stand together, to learn solidarity, and to practice it. And know that your rapid response team intersects with other people's rapid response teams, right? And this is the way we build solidarity. Excuse. And also, just to say, number four, make plans now to be at the inaugural weekend protests. We need millions in the streets in D.C., writes Michael Moore. There's also, of course, regional protests. No one should be silent that day, says Michael Moore. And number five, you should run for office. Yes, you. Why not? It's sort of the point of democracy, right? So I'm just going to leave it there as he ends his piece. There you go. Five easy pieces. Start tonight and spread this all around. All hands on deck. So that's Michael Moore's suggestions for your actions in the coming new year. Payphone Pat, shall we talk to him?
Absolutely.
Hey, Payphone.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going okay. How are you?
It seems to be going.
Like a distant relative, you know. I show up on the holy days.
Yeah, but you're more fun to talk to.
Make an ass of myself and disappear for another 6 weeks. Anywho, as far as who to blame, I would like to blame all the teenage immigrant welfare mothers on drugs. It's all their fault. And I wish DJ would dig that song up out of the archives. I'd love to hear it again. As well as the old, some Irish band played a song about standing up for Judas. I miss Maura Cullen.
Dick Goggin. Actually, Sam Parrish played that last week, and I was very excited to hear it. I
very
sang in the hallways.
Wonderful.
But that's Dick Goggin, and you can look him up online. You can find that song on YouTube. Yes, you can. You can hear it today if you want to, Payphone.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that. And last but not least, I'm a big fan of boycott. So I think, just not buying something or not participating in something is not enough. You got to tell the people whose products you're not buying or places you're not going as to why.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yes.
All right. Hey, thank you for having me on.
Hey, thank you.
Always a pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll see you when the groundhogs turn up then in 6 weeks. That'll be great. We look forward to that day.
And both, yes.
You know, there is a call for part of the resistance to boycott all Trump properties and whatnot. You know, don't stay in his hotels and don't go to his casinos.
No problem for me.
And I started thinking, that's another one of those boycotts where I can say, yeah, I'm there. There wasn't much of a danger of that ever happening in the first place. It's like when they called the Taco Bell boycott. I'm like, yeah, I sure, sign me on up. I hadn't eaten there in 20 years, but I'll boycott.
When was it, someone mentioned there was a restaurant... Should I mention the name of the restaurant?
Yeah, I don't know.
I won't. Where they won't see, don't want to seat you anymore if you smell like marijuana.
Oh yeah.
And the person that was talking about this said, "Wow, I wish I had ever eaten there so I could boycott."
Exactly.
So these things happen.
Some boycotts seem more meaningful than others.
Yeah.
But yeah. 503-231-8187, the number to call. Good morning, Boris. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm slightly intrigued by the fact that the word fascism is being used a bit more in common parlance these days, but I guess the caveat for me would be that it's about 14 years too late. So I'd like to hearken back to that halcyon year of 2003,
mm-hmm.
when the streets of Portland were in turmoil. And I was reading a book at the time entitled Friendly Fascism.
Mm-hmm.
And I was literally incensed by the fact that what that book was describing, which was written in 1980, by the way,
mm-hmm.
I could see in great detail happening all around me, and no one that I encountered, at least, even people in so-called progressive circles, recognized the march of fascism that I could see all around me.
Sure.
And the book was describing in perfect detail friendly fascism, which is exactly what I saw. You know, I saw fascism, but dressed in a three-piece suit. And so people that I encountered and would bring this to their attention found it very easy to deny it and call me hyperbolic because they didn't see Nazis in the streets. And I tried to point out to them that, look, it's become much more polished and much more sophisticated,
right.
but it is fascism nonetheless.
Yep.
And now, you know, 13 years later, people are finally starting to talk about it. But one other detail, I became so incensed that one day I took my anger and my energy down to Pioneer Courthouse Square. And in the process, I had a brief face-to-face with one of Portland's more notorious cops and spent the night in jail as a result of that. But I had a sign that was trying to wake people up to the fascism that was all around us, and spent a night in jail as a result of it, which I thought was, man, do I need more proof than this?
Right. Well, you know, I think there's not a lot of satisfaction in being Cassandra. That there are many of us who have said since God was young that we are going in a very dangerous direction in this country, that fascism is not an inappropriate word to use. After all, as Lynn mentioned earlier, it's the marriage of corporate power with the state. And that certainly has been a direction we have been in and doing pretty hard. And of course, since 2001 and the passage of the Patriot Act, I think people have been appropriately using that term, though not very many of us. That all said, that jumped the shark this year, right? And we can see globally how, in fact, this is a pretty scary coordinated and, well, I'm not going to say new, but I am going to say a pretty horrific step up in the level of repression globally. And so that, I think, is a change that's worth noting. And it does us absolutely no good to say, I told you so at this point. It does us no good at all. We have to actually move forward together. We have to drop any of that pretense of, I knew first, I knew better, I can look at me. Nah, that's not it anymore. We have to actually, you know, check with our friends, our families, our loved ones, and keep resisting going, resisting more and really making sure that we're doing it in concert with others and not being effective about it, I think is what I'm trying to say.
Well, and with compassion for our compadres.
Well, I guess one of the reasons that I brought this up is the fact that, you know, in my mind, I still see a pretty fair amount of denial
mm-hmm.
today. So,
well,
you know.
How do we, yeah. So then how do we pierce that?
Well, that is the question, isn't it?
Generally, yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. Thanks very much for your call this morning. 503-231-8187, the number to call, and you two can join us. We have just a few minutes left. And we're looking at, what has happened.
What the heck was this?
I have to say, I'm putting it out there. Willamette Week has the best cover I have ever seen on any Willamette Week this week.
You just like the dog.
I want to kiss that dog. I want to kiss that dog and make everything better. I want to kiss that dog for a long time. That is a fantastic newspaper cover. I'm just going to, yeah. It's a good article, actually, about the dumpster fire that has been 2016. Again,
it's one of those years where you think, that won't happen.
Oh, but it did.
And it did.
Oh, it won't be bad.
Wait. Oh, it's worse. Okay. Oh, no.
Yeah. It's like that. So, what are you doing in 2017? This is the thing. This is the question. What are you doing
to combat 2017
global fascism? And really, what's going on? You know, that is the bigger question. How is it that we have come so far as a people, not just in this country, but really around the world, that we are willing to unravel 50 years of human rights gains?
Except I think this was all underneath. And now the only...
Sure. Okay. But then, so it's naked now. It's moving forward. It was all underneath. It's been there all along. Sure. But now it's naked.
Yeah.
And it's trampling, right? It's running. It's... So what do we do?
I mean, some things are happening. Like, I love the folks at the EPA that we're not going to name names.
Mm-hmm.
And the names they were supposed to name about people who had anything to do with climate change, because you don't want that. They are taking the Internet Library and moving it to Canada, as this guy said, well, you know, libraries get burned. And then 100 years later or so, people kind of regret it. So we're just moving things. People are moving all sorts of climate statistics around before this next administration gets a hold of them. I wouldn't worry too much at first about their organizational skills, but that's another story altogether. At this time, and I don't mean it as a positive, like, woohoo, how fun, but we definitely know what we're up against here.
We do that.
That's the good part about it being naked.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. Because when you know about something, you can actually address it. And it's maybe a little less gaslighting than it would be when we try to pretend it's not really happening around us. That's true. I'll go for that.
It's in the cold comfort zone.
Pretty cold.
Yeah.
Pretty cold, actually, is what I would call it. So Dave Barry, who I find usually pretty amusing, also has a year in review column. I liked a lot of what he had to say, actually. So just to note that this is the time my computer absolutely acts up. Oh, goodness. Dave Barry, the year in review. What the heck was that? Actually, he says, what the hell? It's true.
We can say
and
that.
I can say hell on the radio. In the future, Americans, assuming there are any left, he writes, will look back on 2016 and remark, what the hell? He says they have a point. Over the past few decades, we here at the year in review have reviewed some pretty disturbing news. Some pretty disturbing years. For example, in 2000, the outcome of the presidential was decided by a tiny group of deeply confused Florida residents who apparently attempted to vote by chewing on their ballots, right? We talked about that earlier. We've seen some precious, strange years. And he writes, perhaps most inexplicable of all, there was 2007 when millions of people voluntarily installed Windows Vista. Yes, he says, we've seen some weird years, but we've never seen one as weird as 2016. This was the Al Yankovic of years. If years were movies, 2016 would be Plan 9 from Outer Space. If years were relatives, 2016 would be the uncle who shows up at your Thanksgiving dinner wearing his underpants on the outside. Yes, in fact, I have to say, I agree with Dave Barry. Yes, I do. With that, let's go ahead and... and talk to Mary Jane. Hello, Mary Jane. You're on the air.
Oh, happy winter solstice, and I'm so glad to hear Lynn back.
As are we all.
Why, thank you. Why, thank you.
Yes, yes, and I don't usually call. I called in on Teresa's show yesterday. I usually don't do that, but
we're happy to have women callers.
Yes, yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
And I appreciate the two previous men. I do
sure
appreciate what that gentleman did, although people are invisible and at times, and hopefully people are waking up more, which I do see. But I wanted to go to a little lighter note where we do need to be grounded. Not lighter, I mean it makes all the difference in my holistic sanctuary. My girlfriend and I went up to the snow and ice on winter solstice and picked hedgehogs and winter chanterelles. And that was beautiful. I meant Willamette, the forest, is a lovely place to be.
And you mean hedgehog and mushrooms, not the actual little hedgehogs.
No, I'm a vegetarian. No, the little hedgehog mushrooms. And they're also called,
just wanted to clarify.
Called, yes, sweet tooth. So, but anyway, thank you for being there. If I was a tech person, I would be your Facebook friend. So, but thank you, and hopefully there's more calls.
Hey, Mary Jane, thank you so much for calling.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that is, I have to say, super important, right? Lynn and I have talked about that for the last, month. This is sort of the completion of our shows where we really are looking at sort of the significance of spirituality.
And staying grounded.
And in the confluence of bringing that into activism and creativity, activism, heart, spirit, mind, body together, to be in our whole selves. That is super important. I just, again, want to put that out there again and again. But, you know, we have to stay active and we have to stay grounded. And I thank Mary Jane for bringing that point home this morning, staying grounded. We mentioned going out into nature earlier as one of the five points of resistance, five resolutions of resistance that one could take. And I cannot stress enough the importance of doing just that. I spent part of the solstice, very short part, really, because it was cold and rainy and I've got bronchitis and stuff and such. But it was a significant time that I was able to go to Forest Park. We are, those that are listening on the terrestrial dial, we are lucky enough to live in this area that if you're living in the city limits, there's a huge forested park. Huge forested park available by a TriMet bus ride.
Even not far from our house, there is a park with lots of trees that sometimes I just take a walk over there and have a conversation, at least touch a tree.
Yeah. Yeah, we, you know, it's an amazing thing. Portland does have just about more parks per capita than any other city in the States.
But that doesn't mean you should come live here.
Okay. Says the person that came to live here from someplace else. Yeah, what else? I'm just saying. So, that all said, we are looking at 2016, the year that was, looking forward to 2017, the year that will be. Use this moment. It's a pivot point. I think that whenever we have that much energy built up about a change, this is an excellent time to add your energy to it, add what you want to bring in. Remember that the subconscious does not really deal with negatives so well. So when you say, I don't want to forget something, you're actually kind of telling yourself to forget something. It's much better to frame things in the positive. I will remember something works a lot better. It's true on the subconscious level. It's also true on the ritual level. Mm-hmm. So if one focuses on this pivotal point over the next couple of days, say, you know, around midnight tomorrow night, if you focus on what you want to see in 2017, and you put it out there with your heart and soul, yeah, bang a couple of pots and pans, make some noise, and put those affirmations out there. That is, I think, also an important part of resistance.
Yeah. I would agree.
Have fun. Be safe.
See you next year.
Know that you are loved and that you're not alone.
Right.
See you next year.
cast your vote.
Tune into KBOO every weekday at 7 p.m. for Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective with Davey D. Hard Knock Radio features in-depth interviews and profiles with community leaders, activists, hip-hop artists, and musicians, giving voice to community concerns and offering a unique forum to explore issues relevant to hip-hop community. That's every weekday at 7 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
And as the previous adorable voice had mentioned, this is KBOO Portland. It's 9 o'clock in the a.m. Coming up on Political Perspectives, we have an in-studio special with former Black Panther Party leader, decades-long political prisoner, and the Real News executive producer, Marshall Eddie Conway. At 10 on Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein, the U.S. expels 35 Russian diplomats as punishment for alleged interference in last month's election. And at 11, Radio Zine brings you the Bradcast, news of Stanford University's changes in sexual assault procedures. I think that means how they address issues of sexual assault. George Takei's pleas to Donald Trump to take nuclear weapons seriously and accusations of false news. And thanks, KBOO members, for all of your generous support. Our match ends this weekend, so now is the time to become a new member or make an extra gift.